Good morning. We welcome all of you this morning, and we have a few announcements this morning. Your announcements are in your bulletin, and I have a couple announcements. The first announcement is about Bible study. Bible study has been changed now to Monday at 7 p.m., so it's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. We are going to start on a new study on Angels and Demons, based on John Hagee's book, The Third Heaven. And if you're not familiar with that, you can preview the Third Heaven book on Google. You can Google it and preview the book. But that's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Hope to see some of you there. And then, also, this is Lent. The season of Lent is coming up soon, and our Lent devotionals have arrived, and they're in the gathering place. And at this time, Susie has an announcement, and then Lindsay has an announcement.
Good morning. The Mission and Fellowship Commission is helping the Ministry and Evangelism Commission with their music night. The Mission and Fellowship, we're doing snacks and drinks for the music night on March 9th. So if you want to help us out, there's a sign-up sheet out in the gathering place. Thank you.
The youth are going to be having a bake sale at the kids' consignment sale. So if anybody would be willing to make any baked goods for the youth to sell, March 15th, that Friday, you can drop them off down in the fellowship hall. Thank you.
Do we have any other announcements? Okay, let's enter into our time of worship as we have the prelude.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole.
Let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry.
He will
answer by and by.
Yeah, when you
feel a little prayer wheel turning,
then you'll
know a little fire is burning.
You will find
a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
It makes it right.
Sometimes my path seems drear without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry.
He will
answer by and by.
Yeah, when you
feel a little prayer wheel turning,
and you'll know
a little fire is burning,
you will find
a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
It makes it
I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry.
And he will
answer by and by.
Yeah, when you
feel a little prayer wheel turning,
and you'll
know a little fire is burning,
you will find
a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
It makes it right.
Let's take a moment and greet one another while I catch my breath.
Thank you.
Let us gather back to worship and our opening songs of praise. You can stand, please. I invite the praise team to come forward as we have our opening songs of praise. Our God and One Thing Remains. Let's sing this to the Lord.
Stronger,
God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our
Join me in the call to worship that's printed in your bulletins, the responsive reading, which will be followed by our invocational prayer in unison. From Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8. O God, we come seeking you in our worship together. We come to you for truth because we are untrue. We come to you for strength because we are weak. We come to you for wisdom because we are unwise. Move in our midst. Show us your trust, your strength, and your wisdom through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray together in unison in the invocational prayer. Let us pray together. Most gracious God, protect us from worry about the concerns of this life, so that we will not become entangled by them. For the needs of our bodies, so that we will not be enslaved by desires, and from any hindrance to our spirits, so that we will not be defeated by troubles. Give us strength to resist, patience to endure, and steadfastness to persevere, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and the children can come forward for the children's story.
Come on up here and sit, my friends. Come on up here so everybody can see us. All right. How is everybody?
Good.
Good. How is school going?
Good.
Good. Okay. And let's see. Do you remember the day you were born? 2009. You know it's 2011. Okay. Anybody else? Do you really remember? All right, look at this. What do you think?
Is that you?
That is me, yes. And there's another one. That is my Pawpaw Wilson. That'd be my grandpa. Giving me a sucker. And it has on the date, I was 2.5 months old, November 25th, 1978. Way before you all were born, I hate to say. But that was me. Look at that. All right, this one, much more recent. This is my niece, Grace, at her first birthday. Look at that. Does she have a mess of cake on her face? Yes, she does.
Your first birthday?
That was my niece's, their cousin. This is Grace. That was her first birthday, and she just turned 11 yesterday. Now, look at this one. Who do you think this is? You think it's Benji?
Do you think Benji or Daniel?
It's Daniel Paul. Yes, it is. This is when he was 6 months old. What do you think of his outfit? You like it?
It's John Deere.
Yeah, it is John Deere. Well, he was a big baby. He was 9 pounds, 2 ounces. That's big for baby size. All right, what do you think about this? Who's this baby?
Kendallin.
Do you think it's Kendallin? Yeah. Look at you, baby girl. Look at you. Now, you got a birthday coming up, don't you?
And Carter.
And Carter, yes. They'll come in this month. Look at that. But that was when Kendallin was born. What do you think about that? She was tiny. Dad, do you remember how tiny was she when she was born? I don't know. We'll have to see. But we saw lots of cute baby pictures, didn't we? Yes, we did. God sure knows how to make some cute people, what do you think? I bet you all have some cute pictures too, don't you?
Uh-huh.
What do you think? So when families give birth or they adopt a baby, they give birth announcements. They want to spread their joy at the miracle that entered their homes. So I have birth announcements, and I wrote mine somewhere. There it is. Okay, so this is mine. I had to call my mama and ask her this stuff because, you know, I don't remember when I was born. I don't know if you all do, but I don't remember it. So this is my birth announcement. My name, Rachel Wilson, baby girl. I was born 9/11/1978 in the evening. Mama doesn't remember the exact time. I was 7 pounds, and I did not ask her the height that I should have. But I bet you all have a birth announcement, too. Now, we are going to read a birth announcement in the Bible from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6.
I thought you said chapter 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
All right, so whose birth announcement is that? Jesus, yes, that is his birth announcement. How cool is that? So why was Jesus born? Does anybody know?
And to die on the cross?
Yes, to forgive us our sins and to die on the cross. Now, who can we tell about Jesus? Who can we tell Jesus about?
God.
Yeah, but who can we tell about God? You know, there are lots of people that don't know about God and Jesus and that he was born to die for us. Can you tell your friends? Yeah, can you tell your family members that might know him, not know him at all? Of course you can. There's everybody on the street. You can tell. Jesus was born to save all people. A long time ago, Jesus was born, and God told people Jesus was coming. God wants all people to be ready to love Jesus, and God wants one big family in heaven with him forever. And that's a big thing that we could tell people. We want everyone to be in heaven with us, don't we? Yes, and we need to tell them that Jesus died for us so we can be with him and live forever. All right, so let's pray. You ready? Dear God, thank you for getting us ready for Jesus. Help us tell people about Jesus. So they can live forever too. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want you all to take one and have someone help you fill out your birth announcement. And I want you to remember when you look at this about Jesus, okay? So everybody take one.
Thank you for the children's story, and this time we're going to take up our offering, and let us read together Acts 20, verse 35b for our offertory statement. Let's read this in unison. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and faithfulness to us. We thank you for this time of worship, that we can come to you to worship you in spirit and truth and in love and fellowship with one another. We pray for these offerings which you lay on your altar. We pray, Lord, that these would help those in need. We pray for the ministries of this church, Lord, that you would provide for us, Lord, in many ways. Bless the offerings that we give. We pray that it will not only enhance the ministries here in the church, but also help those in need within our community around the world. And help us, Lord, to always have a heart to give and to know the words that's more blessed to give than to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time, the children can go to Children's Church. And I ask the praise team to come forward and the ushers to come forward as we take up our morning offering. Thank you. thank the praise team this morning for leading us in our worship and our music this morning. And in your bulletins, you'll see an insert on ones we need to remember in prayer. As we come to our time of our prayer, we need to remember those who need our prayers. I heard an update on Leroy Hartraft. He is home, and Catherine. So just remember both of them in prayer as they're home, along with the many that are listed there. Also, you'll see in the bulletins that this week we're praying for a church in a district. This week we're praying for the Long Run Church of the Brethren, and Harrisburg First Church of the Brethren's praying for us. So let's all come to our God right now and bow our heads for our morning prayer. Lord, what a privilege it is to be in your house of worship this morning. We thank you, Lord, for sending us Jesus Christ, the one who gave us eternal life, Lord. And we thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us that we may come to you, God. Lord, we thank you for our gathering this morning, for the fellowship that we have here as brothers and sisters in the faith. Help us, Lord, to always cherish relationships we have here in the church as fellow Christians. Lord, we know that it is an honor to be in the body of Christ. We thank you that we belong to a church that's doing work for you, doing ministry for you. We pray that you would continue to keep us faithful to the task of loving you, God, and loving one another, and that we would continue the work that you have called us to do as your church. We pray, Lord, for the needs around us. We pray for the needs locally here in Myerstown, for those who are less fortunate than us, Lord. We pray that we as a church would always reach out to those neighbors, Lord, who are in need. Pray that we would have the light of Jesus Christ to shine, Lord, with those around us. We pray, Lord, for the many people, Lord, who are listed on a prayer concern list. Pray for each one, Lord, for the situation that they face. We pray for Leroy and Catherine, Lord, for their situation in the home, Lord, for their failing health. But we know, Lord, that in spirit, they're still very much alive within us. Bless the family as they look after them. We pray, Lord, for our denomination as the Church of the Brethren. We pray that you would unite us as a church and to be faithful, Lord, to serving you. Pray for our nation right now, for our president, for our members of Congress. Pray that, Lord, that they would know the importance of leading us in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we would truly be one nation under God. Pray for our leaders. We always need to be praying for those who serve us in government. Lord, that you would watch over them. We thank you for their service. We pray for our schools around us, Lord, for our teachers and all those, Lord, who serve our kids in school and for education. Bless them, Lord God. We pray that we would always keep Jesus Christ and the commission before us to make all disciples
to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Lord, you know that you are with us always, even to the end of the age. Lead us now, Lord, as we look into your holy word. Pray that we would be enlightened, Lord, by how you speak to us through your word. We pray all these things in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Starting today and next week, we're going to be looking at the Apostle Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians 15, which talks about life and death, and I'm going to be speaking on the topic of what happens after we die this week and next week. But join me in turning in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. I'll be reading two portions of Scripture from 1 Corinthians 15. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through 38, and then verses 42 through 50. 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through 38, and 42 through 50. Apostle Paul here talks about a glorious body. Hear the word of the Lord. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body, what that body shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same, but there is one kind of flesh of men and another flesh of animals, another of fish and another of birds. Verses 42 now through 50. So also is a resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. May God add a blessing in the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word, which was given to us, which is spoken, your spoken word, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If someone would come up to you and ask, why should I become a Christian? What would you say? Out of all the religions of the world, why should I choose Christianity? Well, there are several answers, but one good answer would be because Christianity is the one religion that will give you hope after you die, because you'll have eternal life with God in heaven and you will live a new life. And when you think about it, there aren't very many other religions that can make that claim, because many religions believe that once you die, your life is ended, or they might think of some afterlife or reincarnation or something that really doesn't give us any hope. Or some religions may say, well, you need to do all these good things, you need to do all these good works for God, and you need to work your way into heaven. And I was thinking about that. What if you would die suddenly, very young, and you didn't have enough time to do all these so-called good works for God? Or as a Buddhist might say, what if I never reach nirvana, which is their version of a false heaven? But if you're someone who believes in Jesus Christ, in Christianity, your life continues in a new and glorious way after you die, because Jesus paid the penalty for your sins once for all. That is the hope that we have when our life on earth is gone. And think about this too. How can anyone have any hope in their life if they believe that this life that we're living now, is the only life there is? Many people really live that way. They believe that this life is the only life there is. And once you die, you're gone, you're forgotten, there's no more life in you. You're just in the ground, so to speak. Your body's in the ground. But Paul says, if your life is in Jesus Christ, your life continues in a new way. So starting today, I want to begin to talk about something that many people don't want to talk about, and that is what happens when we die. You will not find many topics about death on the popular talk shows. Yet, I can guarantee you this, people are thinking about their own death. People contemplate about their own death, but will not admit it. There is a quote that I'd like to read to you from the philosophy book that I have in college, and I quote here, "Our feelings of death are the subtlest of all motivators, but also the strongest. No problem in the human condition has been subject to man's creative imagination more than the prospect of his own death, his own cessation." You've heard this before, that there are two guarantees in life. You probably know what they are: death and taxes. But there's a difference when you think about it. There's a difference between the two of them. Death happens only once. Taxes happen every year. And when you think about it, shouldn't that be reversed? You know, there's taxes, and then there's death, because after we pay our taxes, we die after that. That's kind of the way it should be with our two guarantees in life. Now, there is one point that I think everyone can agree on when it comes to death, and that is that all of us will one day die. I mean, it's a guarantee, it's 100% proven. We all have that in common, no matter how old we are. There should be no disagreement. But what people can't agree on are the details of what happens after we die. What will it look like? What will happen to our physical body? What will happen to our souls? What happens to our spirit? And all these questions cause some people to fear their own death. But as Christians, we should never fear death. And we're going to look at that. Let's look at the Apostle Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians 15. And if you have your Bibles, look there. Paul tells us exactly what will happen to us as Christians after we die in 1 Corinthians 15. And he also tells us the details of what this is going to look like. But some people in Paul's day just didn't get it. They just didn't get how they could live after they die. Now let's look at the context of the setting of the text in 1 Corinthians 15. Who is Paul speaking to? In your inserts there, I have that question. Who is Paul speaking to? He was speaking to people who doubted the resurrection. Paul is speaking to the people who doubted the resurrection of Christ, the resurrection believers. And he was also speaking to people who even questioned the possibility of the resurrection. So there are some believers who are saying, well, yeah, there's resurrection of the spirit, but not the resurrection of the body. Or there's others that were saying, this can't be possible. So they questioned it. He's also speaking to some people who believe that once you die, your life is done. He was speaking to the skeptics. And so Paul makes the argument first and foremost that our entire faith as Christians is based on the resurrection of Christ. Now, if there is one doctrine that we need to believe as Christians, it is the resurrection of Christ. That is a central Christian doctrine that we need to hold on to, the resurrection of Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 14. Paul says here, now if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not risen. And if Christ has not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. And so Paul is saying, if Christ hasn't risen, then all this preaching that we're doing is empty and your own faith is empty. So that was a problem. The problem were the people who questioned this whole teaching of the resurrection. They questioned the greatest truth of the Christian life. And so if you see, they asked the question here. If you look at verse 35, they asked the question, how are the dead raised then? How are the dead raised? How do the dead have another body? How can this happen? Paul answers these questions by saying, first of all, that you're foolish if you think that there is another body that comes out of the grave. You're foolish if you think that, he says. Paul says what happens is this. The body must die first, then be raised by the power of God, which is similar to how a plant grows. You know, plants, you know, you plant a seed in the ground and then it causes it to grow. That's the concept here that Paul is speaking about. Verse 38. Paul says, God gives it a body as he pleases and to each seed its own body. In other words, the resurrection of our bodies is a miraculous work that only God can perform. So Paul says here, don't question that. Don't doubt that. Only believe it by faith. Only believe that God is able to make that change. Don't try to explain it. Just believe it by faith. If you look at Ephesians 4:21 in the Bible, Paul further explains the miracle of a resurrected body. Paul says the Lord Jesus Christ will transform, he'll change our lowly body, our earthly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Now we might have a hard time thinking, how is this change going to happen? What we need to know, and this is what we need to take, Paul's talking about a good thing. Paul's talking about a good thing. Paul's positive about this. He's joyful about this. We're not talking about death. We're talking about life in Christ. Every time I do a funeral for a beloved brother, sister in the Lord, I always say that the funeral is about life. It's a celebration of the life that was lived. It's a celebration of eternal life with Jesus in heaven. That's what Paul is saying here. This is a good thing. Something to celebrate. And some of us need to change our outlook on life as God gave each one of us a life to live on earth. So try not to be so negative about life. God gave us each of a life to live, and I don't believe God wants us to mope around complaining about everything. I remember my first job First job I had was in a furniture factory in my hometown. I was 16, 17 years old at the time. It was they were upholsters, and I was putting springs into furniture frames, and most of the men there were ones who worked there their entire life. They worked their entire life in a furniture factory. 40, 50 years they were there. So here I was, 16, 17, I'm thinking, I'm going to do the same thing, okay? And so one of the oldest longtime workers had a conversation with me one day at work. I was making buttons on this machine, and he came up to me and he said to me, "Do you really want to work here for the rest of your life? Do you want to work here like a slave for the rest of your life?" And I just stood there. I didn't know what to say. Because he was asking me a good question. You know, this 16-year-old kid like me, I need to think about that. And at the time, I was planning on working there for the rest of my life, but then I thought, well, I really don't want to live this same life that this guy was living. Because I knew that he really didn't want to work there. But like so many, many workers today, it was the only job he ever had. If he'd be living today, God bless him, he'd probably have that bumper sticker that says, I owe, it's off to work, I go. I think he'd probably sing that song. Our own death should make us examine and appreciate our life that we live here on earth. That's in your inserts. Our own death should make us examine and appreciate our life that we live here and now. I have a philosophy book here from the time I was in college. And in this philosophy book, there is a chapter on death and the meaning of existence. Now, what you need to know about philosophy is don't read it. It's probably the most boring thing you can read. I don't even know why I took that up as a major in college. But anyway, he does say one good thing here that makes me think about what he's saying. There's one question that stood out to me. The writer asks this question: how would your outlook on your life change if you knew you would live to be 300 years old? I must say, I never thought about that question before. That would mean that if someone who's 300 today, they were born in the year 1719, they would have lived through the Revolutionary War, George Washington, the Civil War, World War I, the Depression, all the way to the invention of the iPhone XS. Another way of looking at living to be 300 would be that if you're 90 years old, you have 210 more years to live. What do you think of that? You say, no thanks. Why would I ever want to go through 210 more years of misery? Why do we think about that? Why do we think about that, about our lives? I had a college classmate one time who enjoyed saying this phrase before. Life is a bummer and then you die. You know, probably the most negative thing you can say. He had a bad outlook. But it's not just him. Even some of the men in the Bible, when you think about it, hated their life. King Solomon, who was the wisest, richest man. God gave him everything a man could want. Even King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 2:17, "I hated my life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind." And Job in the Bible, if you read Job, he was also very much of a pessimist at first. He said in Job 3, verse 1, he cursed the day of his birth. And he said, "May the day perish in which I was born." And at the end, he lived to be 140 years old. So the question is this, and I want you to think about this. If we know what our life will be like in Christ, in all of his glory, like it says in Scripture, Shouldn't we enjoy the life we're living right now? Just go out and have some fun. We did that yesterday. Rachel and the boys and me and Melissa, we just went out and we went bowling at Burke's, what's that called, Burke's Lane. It was a great time. Just go out and have some fun. Benjamin got a strike and I got a gutter ball, but I still had fun. Or just do what we did on Friday night. Go to a basketball game. Went to Elko's basketball game. Elko won, which made it even more enjoyable. But, you know, just go out and enjoy life. Enjoy life more. We should. Because God gave us our lives to live for his glory. I don't think we should be people who think misery loves company. That's a popular phrase. Misery loves company. We shouldn't be that way. Why? Well, look what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:26. The Apostle Paul tells us that if you live your life in Jesus Christ, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Jesus conquered death when he was raised from the grave. We should never fear our own death if we are in Christ. It is only victory. The Apostle Paul had perhaps the most positive and joyful outlook on his own life and death. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." What did Paul mean by that? Paul's thinking, you know, hey, as long as I live, I'm going to be promoting. I'm going to be living the life that Christ wants me to live. And I'm going to do that with joy. And when I die, I'm going to be with Christ, which is far better than what I'm doing right now. I only pray that we can have that same outlook on our own lives and death. I remember back when my father died, back in the year 2006. My mother died 8 months before him. And I can say that that was the most loneliest, hard time of my father's life, those last 8 months, because he was alone. I mean, he lived for my mother. He lived for his wife. They had 64 years of a good marriage, raising six children. And when after my father died, people gave their condolences to me. And many of the people were telling me, you know, well, now your father is enjoying being with your mother in heaven. They're reunited. That was their words of comfort. And I understood where they're coming from. I liked their intentions. But deep down, I was thinking, you know what? Heaven is much better than that. Heaven's much better than that. Heaven is much better than a good and long marriage, wonderful as it is. That's good news to all the spouses who lose their loved ones. Your life in heaven is going to be even better than being reunited. Heaven is much better than the very best life that we can imagine. That's why so many people ask the question, is there going to be baseball in heaven? Because they love baseball. Or golf. Is there going to be golf in it? Because they just think golf is heavenly to be out in that golf course on a beautiful day. Heaven's much better than that. So what happens when we die? We have a much better life than even the best life we have here. So believe that. Believe that. Hold on to that hope. Hold on to that hope of the resurrected life. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for giving us the life that you want us to live. We pray, Lord, that as we leave here today, that our outlook in life would change, that we'd be hopeful. As Christians, we know the truth of the victory that you have in Jesus Christ. And we're going to live, Lord, in your glory. This morning, Lord, I pray for anyone who might be struggling about their salvation, who might have doubts about their salvation, Lord, that you would come into their hearts and minds, Lord, to make that decision today to accept you into their hearts and lives. And we thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing our closing song today, I want to invite anyone this morning, if you have a prayer request or if you want to make a decision for the Lord, I invite you to come forward as we sing our closing songs. Would you all please stand as we sing our closing songs?
The victory.
As we leave here today, let us take the hope that we have with us, the hope of Jesus Christ. I'd like to read this benediction from 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen.